Narayana Namaskritya Narum Tevam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashta Prayeshwa Badresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. Good morning to everybody. So this morning's text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, which is entitled the Summum Bonum, Chapter 7, The Killing of a Demon Trinavata, and Text 37. Okay. Shaviksha Vishvam Sahasa Raja Sanjata Vepathu Shamilya Mega Shavakshi Netre Asisu Vishmita Shaviksha Vishvam Sahasa Rajan Sanjata Vepatu Shamilya Mega Shavakshi Netre Asit Tubishmita Saviksha Vishvam Sahasa Raja Sanjata Vebatu Shamilya Mega Shavakshi Netre Asit Tubishmita. Okay, you can chant now. So we do the word for word translation now. Sa Mother Yashoda. Viksha by seeing. Vishvam the whole universe. Sahasa suddenly within the mouth of her son. Rajan O King Maharaj Parikshit. Sanjata Vepatu whose heart was beating. Samilya, opening. Mega Shava Sakshi, like the eyes of a fawn. Netre, her two eyes. Asit, became. Suvishmita, astonished. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb, and in astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Because of her pure maternal love, Mother Yashoda thought that this wonderful child playing so many tricks must have had some disease. She did not appreciate the wonders shown by her child. Rather, she wanted to close her eyes. She was expecting another danger, and therefore her eyes became restless like those of a fawn. This was all the arrangement of Yogamaya. The relationship between Mother Yashoda and Krishna is one of pure maternal love. In that love, Mother Yashoda did not very much appreciate the display of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulences. At the beginning of this chapter, two extra verses sometimes appear. Evam bahuni karmani gopana sham sayositam nandasya gehe vavridhe kurvan vishnu janada. Janardana, sorry. In this way, to chastise and kill the demons, the child Krishna demonstrated many activities in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and the inhabitants of Raj enjoyed these incidents. Evam Savavide Vishnu. Nanda Gehe Jananada. Kuvan Anisham Anandam Gopalanam Sa Yositam. To increase the transcendental pleasure of the Gopas and the Gopis, Krishna, the killer of the all demons, was thus raised by his father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. Sripad Vijayadvaj Tirtha also adds another verse after the third verse in this chapter. Vistare neha karunyat sarva papa pranashanam vaktum ahasi dharma gya dayalu twam iti prabhu. Maharaj Parikshit then requested Shukadev Goswami to continue speaking such narrations about the pastimes of Krishna so that the king could enjoy from them transcendental bliss. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinavata. Om Aginatimiranyasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Yadanti Swa Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sya E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorachise Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the text again. Sabiksha Vishwam Sahasa Rajan Sanjata Vibhatu Samilya Mega Shabakshi Nete Asit Subhismita. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb, and in astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. Hare Krishna. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is incredible. Is incredibly incredible. So many things that he does as pastime, just to enjoy himself and to prick devotees in certain ways, their minds in certain ways, and at the same time, have Yogamaya have them think differently just for his enjoyment. He is clearly Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He is the owner of everything. Therefore, as things were or are to play out, he actually causes it to happen. So Lord Brahma said it right on point. Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Paramahansa Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So he is in fact the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Body is our body type by his own will. Satchitananda, our souls are like that. I'm not talking about the physical body. I meant actually the soul. Krishna is the supreme soul. And he is the cause of everything. Everyone comes from him, but he is unborn. Anadi Adi Govinda. The Lord that gives pleasure to devotees and also to the cows. Sarva Karana Karanam. So Mother Yashoda is now playing the role of mother, but Krishna is one without a second. Krishna is Atmaram, he's satisfied. But still, because of loving exchanges between him and his pure devotees, then Mother Yashoda gets to play the role of mother. Vatsalya Ras, for Krishna's pleasure. Mother Yashoda works and serves for Krishna's pleasure, to satisfy Krishna's senses. We should work in devotional service to satisfy Guru's senses, who satisfies Krishna's senses, because Krishna is satisfied when Guru is satisfied. Yashat Prasad Bhagavat Prasad. Guru also tells us we should serve devotees. So our duty is threefold: to serve devotees, to serve Guru, and to serve Krishna. Now in Kali Yuga, the easiest way for our material eyes to see Krishna is through the deity form. But Krishna is all around us. All you have to do is look at nature. This is all Krishna. Nature is all Krishna. Krishna is absolute. Everything he's created is him. But to also make the embassy, which is a temple, be more prominent in our minds, so he appears also in that form, the deity form. So we can actually focus. This is all for our benefit. To focus our minds, to serve, to sing, to dance, all for his pleasure. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Mother Yashoda had Krishna on her lap. And Krishna yawned. And when Krishna yawned, his mouth naturally was open. And being on Mother Yashoda's lap, Mother Yashoda saw what was going on. And naturally, when a person yawns, the part of the face you look at is the mouth. Because that's what's actually acting more than any part of the face at that time. And she looks in Krishna's mouth, and what does he see? The entire universe. Well, now, if you were in her shoes, you'd be shocked too. Because it's a baby. You're looking at a baby. And the mouth of the baby, which is even smaller than the size of the baby, and a whole universe is inside? How can that be? First thing, how can that be? In mind, immediately would say, how can that be? So it's not so surprising that Bhagavatam translation is, her heart began to throb. You'd be afraid immediately. My house and the whole universe is in my baby's mouth in my house? How do you figure that? How do you figure that? So yeah, his mind got blown immediately. And his heart began to throb. And it's like, well, some things have happened. First of all, Putin has been here. In Mother Yashoda's mind, Krishna could have died. He didn't die. Trinavarta. We've had another situation. Krishna is still here. And now Krishna himself, universes are coming and seen in his mouth. This is the third incident. What am I supposed to do about that one? There's some demon coming. This is always something starts first, and then a demon comes. So now that the universes are coming, maybe that's another situation, then we'll get ready for another one. The mother that's very caring would think like that immediately. The first ones that happened were all demonic. and we had to call on Brahmins to try to chant mantras. What am I supposed to do now? Oh, okay, there's another one coming. So, all right. I'm not scratching my head just to do that. I'm not scratching in terms of what do you do? So, Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child. Then her heart began to throb. And in astonishment, it's like, yeah, natural thing. If you don't want to see something happen, the first thing is this: I don't believe this. I don't believe this means you close your eyes. You close your eyes because you want your mind to say, it's really not happening. It's not happening. If it's happening, I'm not looking at it. I'm not going to see it. So this is all natural from a person that's surprised about what is happening. But that's Krishna's pastime. And he's basically enjoying himself. Krishna controls our emotions. When devotees give in to Krishna, submit to Krishna, Krishna controls our emotions in his pastimes. This is exactly what's going on. But in the end, it just goes wonderfully in the end. So Krishna will never make us be a little bit stagnant. So when we have in this material world happiness and distress, even in the service of Krishna, it is Krishna that's teaching us lessons from the distress. And Krishna that's showing his love, actually shows in both cases, but more obvious in the times when we have happiness. But happiness actually is controlled in many ways by us, by our own wanting to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The heart, the soul becomes happy. The soul becomes happy from the chanting, connecting to Krishna, then the happiness just flows. So it's not like we can't be happy at all times. Happiness and distress in terms of things that happen in the material world, that's going to go on. That's just the nature of the way this world is. But the internal happiness, that's always there as long as we connect with the Holy Name. As long as we connect with the Holy Name, that's always there. Krishna doesn't take that away ever. So Rupa Goswami is telling us, always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. Our peace and satisfaction comes from serving the devotees who are connected as servants of a servant of a servant of Krishna. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, because of her pure maternal love, Mother Yashoda is in the Vatsalya Ras, Mother Yashoda thought that this wonderful child playing so many tricks must have some disease. And let's figure that for a minute. The child is playing tricks, but Mother Yashoda doesn't realize that. He thinks, it's unusual. And disease is also unusual. Therefore, maybe the logic is, if this is happening and it's strange, then it must be a disease. Either happening or getting ready to happen. She did not appreciate the wonder showed by her child. Srila Prabhupada is saying, she wanted to close her eyes and she was expecting another danger. Because at that time in the count, a few of them had already happened. Therefore, her eyes became restless. Restless because she loves her child so much. Another thing shouldn't happen to my child. If it's starting, this is trouble. I don't want to know, but I still have to find out because I'm the mother. So she was expecting another danger. So her eyes became restless like those of a fawn. A fawn is a small deer and they tend to be quite fearful because they're quite weak compared to other animals in the forest. So they're always looking around and they just, the eyes become restless. I remember in Gidanagri, even full grown deer, because people were going after them and shooting them and so on. Of course, we weren't allowing that to happen in the land, but in the Gidanagri land, and this is Port Royal, Pennsylvania. But outside of that, sometimes I will, they call it the deer season, where it's absolutely horrible it is. People just leave work and they take their, shotguns and they go trying to get deer just for the meat, for the flesh of the deer. And so many things they go through to try to prepare for that and go through that. So in this case, Mother Yashoda has become concerned and her eyes are restless. Srila Prabhupada says this is all the arrangement of Yuga Maya. to Yogamaya plays an interesting role in Krishna's pastimes. So many pastimes involve Yogamaya. Practically, for devotees, especially the pure devotees, there's practically no pastime in Krishna is involved with the Yogamaya doesn't play some kind of role. Either she's playing a role or Narada Muni is playing some role. But it's the two of them. They make things happen. As I say in American terms, they make things happen. So, Mother Yashoda, Srila Prabhupada is saying here, the arrangement of Yogamaya reminds me of one part described in Gaga Samhita of the Rasa dance. Mm? The Rasa dance in the forest, in Vrindavan. And when Krishna gets ready and leaves home, and the gopis, Radharani leaves home, and the gopis, and I'm just cutting to the chase. But there's a lot of arrangement that's made, especially to get Radharani out of the house, and the gopis are all part of it, and so many arrangements that are made. Now, when they finally leave and head towards the forest, which means the gopis have left home, and the gopis are married. So what happens? Well, Yogamaya steps in. Yogamaya creates a double. Another image, just like the gopi, then in the house of husband. So the husbands are not aware that the gopis are gone. But Yogamaya creates that situation. And so, as far as the husbands are concerned, the gopis are home. But as far as Krishna knows and Radha knows and they know, they are in the rasa dance in the forest. And so Yogamaya plays that role. When I read that in Gaga Samhita, I was quite astonished. But yeah, this is Krishna does what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, with, you know, his pure devotees. So that's bottom line. Mm-hmm. So Srila Prabhupada says the relationship between Mother Yashoda and Krishna is one of pure maternal love. Mm-hmm. And when a mother loves a child and some things unusual are happening to the child or even with the child, the mother immediately becomes concerned. It's the first thing, because of their love. So, at the beginning of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada is saying two extra verses. He gets into that. One, the English translation is, in this way, to chastise and kill the demons, the child Krishna demonstrated many activities in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and inhabitants of Raja enjoyed these incidents. Part of the reason that Krishna had come was to annihilate the demons. And another part of the reason was to excite the devotees. So, killing the demons, he started right at infancy. Hadn't even walked yet. And he was already, you know, starting the situation as cancer was bringing the demons. Then Krishna was getting rid of them. In the next verse, also the translation, Srila Prabhupada put in the purport way, to increase the transcendental pleasure of the gopas and the gopis, Krishna, the killer of all demons, was thus raised by his father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. So Krishna was present in Vrindavan so that the demons may be killed and saved in that sense, because when Krishna kills, the demon actually, the soul benefits from it, the soul of the demon. And to increase the transcendental pleasure of the gopas and the gopis, especially the cowherd boys, the gopas, Krishna was a hero. Krishna was a hero. So when the hero does things that are, you know, exciting and not so easy for anybody else to do, or not easy at all for anybody else to do, incredible deeds, then of course, those who cheer him, the hero, they become very happy. So the cowherd boys were really, really, you know, praising Krishna for being able to kill demons like that. They know it's demon. One demon killed, that means there's less trouble on the earth. And the last text here, Srila Prabhupada put in is, Visha Vistarineha Karunyat Sarva Papa Panasanam Bhartum Ahasi Dharmagya Dayalustram Iti Prabhu. Maharaj Parikshit then requested Shikadev Goswami to continue speaking such narrations about the pastime so that the king could enjoy from them transcendental bliss. Alright, so Maharaj Pariksit was requesting Shukadev Goswami to speak such narrations about the pastimes of Krishna so that the king, Maharaj Pariksit, could enjoy from them. Alright, now, in Vrindavan, the gopis would milk the cows. The top of the milk, usually there's cream that forms, is thicker. Yogurt can be made from it. This is some of the things that happen on a daily basis in Vrindavan. And they will churn to get butter. Now, it's described in Gagga Samhita that the churning is not like what we think happens here. The gopis are very, very talented. So even the older gopis in churning the milk, in churning yogurt and to get butter, it's done in a particular rhythm. And I was very surprised to hear that. So imagine all these houses, early in the morning, and the churning, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They have a string that they hold to the pestle part of it, and then they just churn in the mortar, and the yogurt and the top of the cream, all that in there, and this, you know, eventually you get butter out of it. But it's done in a rhythmical way. So basically, the moving back and forth, it's like sound percussion type music. And that's the way it is every day. Every day. Not only that, the dust in Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram, they play in it. Krishna's footprints underneath have a lot of designs in there, auspicious designs. So when they step in the grass, in the dust in Vrindavan, those footsteps are now in the dust. So it's a whole design. The dust itself has designs in it. Another point that with the gopis, again from Gagga Samhita, when they do the Mindi, I think that's what it's called, yeah, the hands, designs in the hands, they will go then literally stamp their hands, in manner of speaking, on the cows. So the designs in their fingers are also on the cows. But just imagine a place like this. The rhythm going on, the dust is like that, the cows are that decorated. I mean, it's village life, but it's wonderful village life at the highest type of artistic display that you can get. Literally. Music as well as design. Art and music, both. So when Krishna is calling us back, and Sri Prabhupada says, go back, do we need to add more to it? The life itself is like that, and that's just a small part of what happens in the morning, and of course during the day, as Krishna's footsteps are on, you know, on the ground. So the morning is like that. Chinese musical, Krishna's footprints. Now, then there are so many other pastimes. So some of it has been said here at, in this 10th canto, 7th chapter. But there's more, way more. Pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the gopis, Abhimanyu, Jatila, Kutila. I mean, as it goes on and on and on and on. So, with your permission, we'll say, I'm looking at the time, that's almost 8:27. We'll just do one pastime. One more pastime. And this time, it involves Jatila and Kutila, the mother and sister of Abhimanyu, which is called the so-called husband of Srimati Radharani. But of course, it's also for part of Krishna's pastimes. The Radharani is the eternal consort of Krishna. So, one occasion, Abhimanyu went to the market in Yavat to buy some cows. First, he selected the nice cows that he wanted. And then in the afternoon, he came back with some coins to purchase the cows. Krishna knew, the Lord is in everybody's heart, Krishna knew what was going on. And he also knew that Radharani was in Yavat at the time. And he wanted to associate with Srimati Radharani. So they hatched a plot They means him and the cowherd boys, because, you know, they are always in arrangement, to see what they want to do. So they spread a rumor in the village that Krishna is coming in the disguise of Abhimanyu to see Srimati Radharani. Krishna is coming in disguise, looking like Abhimanyu. Now, it actually was a rumor, but later on you'll learn actually it was true. But so I won't get you too far ahead, but in the meantime, let's just stay with it. So Abhimanyu is coming back to the village to pay for the cows that he selected. This news has been spread. Jatila and Kutila are there at the time, and so Abhimanyu is coming, and he gets to the place where he's supposed to see the cows, but he sees his mother and his sister Jatila and Kutila, and they're standing in the gateway with sticks. They've heard the rumor that Krishna is coming, and they're the ones that in their pastimes, there's a rash where they're trying to keep Krishna away from going after Radharani, because to them, Abhimanyu has married Radharani, so that's the wife. Srimati Radharani is the wife of Abhimanyu. And Krishna, they don't know where to place him just yet. he's in a sense a disturbance, but it's a transcendental disturbance. So Abhimanyu gets there, and Jatila and Kutila think that is Krishna come in disguise as Abhimanyu. They don't realize that's the real Abhimanyu. So he comes and they stop him. Real Abhimanyu is standing in front. They stop him and they start screaming at him. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Abhimanyu says, what? I'm coming to get... No, get out of here. Get out of here. We know you are Krishna. You've come in the disguise of Abhimanyu. Get out. We won't let you in. And so he couldn't believe himself. And we couldn't believe this. Abhimanyu... This is my mother and my sister doing that to me. Well, it got worse. The whole village that heard about it started roaring at it. Get out. Get out. We all know. We all heard it. You are Krishna. And you're coming disguised as Abhimanyu, trying to come in here. And we know your final mission is to come to Radharani. Radharani is married and you're not coming here. So the poor Abhimanyu, the real Abhimanyu, people thinking that he was Krishna, they kicked him out. In fact, they threatened him so much he had to run away. So here he was gone. Then, in another direction, Sri Krishna came perfectly disguised as Abhimanyu. And, you know, in one sense, Krishna is cheating, right? Because Krishna has everybody's heart, so he can really make people think the way he wants them to think. So Abhimanyu is gone. That's their mistake at the village. And then he comes, and as soon as they saw him, they took him to be the real Abhimanyu. So their hearts, Jatila and Kutila, they were so overwhelmed with family affection. They embraced Krishna. They said, oh, Abhimanyu, we're so happy to see you. Krishna just came and was disguised as you, and we drove him out. Now you've come. Now they think it is real Abhimanyu. Krishna is waiting. Radharani is waiting for you. And as soon as they said that, Krishna said, well, it's actually an auspicious day. I thank you, but it's an auspicious day for Radharani to perform puja to the goddess Mangal Devi. And so I will take her to the temple, and then we'll perform the worship that is needed, the proper worship for that day. Jatila and Kutila said, absolutely. Whatever pleases the two of you, you should definitely go and do that. And so Krishna, disguised as Abhimanyu, takes Radharani. Then they rendezvous with the rest of the gopis in the temple of Mangal Devi in the evening. And they go in there, they perform puja, but they also have a rasa dance. And Krishna says Radharani the whole night, as he liked. No, they all know Jatila and Kutila says, Abhimanyu will come. Abhimanyu will bring Krishna back. Abhimanyu will bring his wife back. And so Krishna literally fooled everybody. He doesn't have to fool anybody, but he does that for just fun. So he had the Srimati Radharani for the evening with the rest of the gopis. Hare Krishna. So this is one of the past. I'm looking at the time, and I think I was told to stop at 8:30. So let me read the pastime, the text for today back, and then you'll have, if you want to comment, make questions, we could do that also. Okay. So the translation. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 7, text 37. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb, and in astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, are there any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna jai. Absolutely. Please go ahead. Jai. Yeah, today is. Yeah. Hare Krishna, I'm glad you brought it up, that we, there's Balaram celebration giant today. So I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you, Sudevi Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, jai. Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. Yes, Krishna is wonderful. In fact, it brings me to a point that Rana Swami made in one of his lectures. He talked about the children, and when we as parents are raising our children, there are non-devotee type stories. There's sometimes like Jack and the Beanstalk, and people who are raised in English or American, and they know this, these kinds of stories. But the author, the person that writes the story, makes up something that they know is actually non-existent, but they make it just to, you know, prick the minds of the children into imagining something. And Maharaj was making the point that that can throw the children off, because they will grow up to realize that it's not real. But when it comes to Krishna's pastime, it is real. It is real. It's incredible, and it is real. The ones that are non-devotees sounds incredible, but it's not real. So he was making the point that we should tell our children more about the pastimes, because when they believe it as children, they will believe it as adults also. Whereas in the other type of thing, they will believe it as children and they have to throw it away as adults. So that's a waste of time, especially for devoted children. So he was making the point that Krishna's pastimes are going to be incredible from A to Z. Therefore, there's no Z actually. It keeps going on and on and on. But since they are real, Krishna would be looked at as an incredible personality by the children when they hear these pastimes, rather than the karmic pastimes they have to throw away, which is a very important point. I'm glad that actually somehow made me, you know, put this in my mind to actually make the point here. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So yeah, more pastimes, better for our children and for us too, because we also know, you know, stay away from all those other things that are disturbing to our minds. Krishna's mercy. Oh, absolutely. Krishna's mercy. But that's a devotee's heart, though, the way you've spoken. It's a devotee's heart. Because by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Guru and Gauranga, now the pastimes do get to our hearts. That's how we expressed it. It do get... Wonderful. Hare Krishna. Jai. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Very good question. And there's a long answer to that and there's a short answer to that. The short answer is, Shukadeva Goswami, in his mother's womb, he heard about Bhagavatam. From his father. He heard about this in Vyasadeva. So he heard Bhagavatam from... So this was already, as even the way we are, these souls who take birth in the mother's wombs, if you take them to the temple, they hear kirtan, they hear... Even at that, but you know, they may be a child, but the soul is not a child. The soul at all. The soul is squished, true enough, because of what they have to go through here in this material world, but it's in its fullness still. And so the senses are there. So they will pick up, and of course the soul gives consciousness. Therefore, when the child hears about that in the womb, from the soul point, the consciousness is also going to trip into the physical and then the subtle body, and then they immediately, when they're born, as long as the mother keeps bringing the child to the same areas that they heard the Krishna's name, then they'll connect with it. So, Shukadeva Goswami, who is actually in the spiritual world Radharani's pet, Shuka, is actually a parrot. And there's a whole story behind, well, maybe I should save the longer part before a short while about it. So, this was in Vrindavan. Radharani and Krishna were there, the gopis were there, and the parrot, as you know, our parrot, even here, the material parrots, these material bodies, the parrots of this material body type, if you say something, they have enough intelligence that they can imitate. You say something, they can say the same thing. That, yeah. So, Krishna was saying... No, but sorry, I just want to get my thoughts straight. So, when Shukadeva Goswami was hearing Hare Krishna, so he was speaking, it was Radharani's pet. So, yeah, it was Radha that was telling Shuka, the parrot, Hare Krishna. And then the parrot would respond, Hare Krishna. And he tried to imitate the voice too, the voice tone and everything. So, he was saying Hare Krishna almost like Radharani's voice. This is going on, right? So later on, the parrot flew and went to where Krishna was. Krishna was not with Radha at the time. And he kept saying that, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but with Radharani's voice though, to Krishna. So Krishna was so intrigued by it that the parrot was doing that. In the meantime, he had left Radharani. So the gopis went looking for Shuka because Nani wanted to. But when they came and they saw where Krishna was, and Shuka was with Krishna and saying that, and they started, you know, sometimes they point fingers at Krishna. Why did you take the parrot? Why you have Radharani's parrot? This is what's going on. They start, because they said, I didn't. He came on his own. And I'm really enjoying what he's saying, you know. So then when they were united, Radharani, Krishna, and Shuka, then Krishna and Radha told them that they would be leaving. So Shuka wanted to be with them. They told him not to go just yet. He should hear Bhagavatam. And so when they left, Radharani and Krishna left, Shuka then flew to where Lord Shiva was at. And Lord Shiva was narrating Bhagavatam to his wife. Shuka perched on a tree close to where Lord Shiva was sitting. And so he was also listening. Shuka is a pet parrot, male parrot. So he was also listening. And as Parvati was sitting close to her husband and kind of leaning on him, and he was saying one text after another, one text after another, Lord Shiva was describing Bhagavatam to his wife Parvati. And so this is going on, and Lord Shiva would say, you get it? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, very nice, very nice. So this is going on, going on, going on. And then Parvati nodded off. He got a little sleepy. After the third canto area, Parvati was already sleeping. But Lord Shiva closed his eyes and his wife leaned, so he just kept saying, do you get it? Do you get it? And guess who responded? Shuka. Yes, yes, very nice. Yes, in Parvati's sound. So Lord Shiva kept going, not realizing, because Lord Shiva had closed his eyes, right? And then he got to almost the 10th canto area. Parvati opens his eyes and said, wait a minute, my lord. I was sleeping. I missed a lot of the things. Shiva said, but you kept telling me, yes, 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 very nice. So I kept going. He said, no, I didn't. I was actually sleeping. So then Lord Shiva looks around. Where did the sound come? Looks up at the tree and hears Shuka singing. He says, oh, so you are the one that keeps saying, yes, yes, very nice. Lord Shiva got upset with Shuka and took a strident. He got really angry and went after Shuka. Shuka just flew. And Lord Shiva gave chase. And they wound up at the kutir of Vyasadeva. He was there. He was also speaking Bhagavatam to his wife. So Shuka gets in the parrot first. Lord Shiva is in hot pursuit, but he gets in first, and immediately Vyasadeva senses there's something wrong. Okay, it didn't take long when the Shuka looked. It didn't take long. Here comes Lord Shiva. But before Lord Shiva could get in there, Shuka made himself very small and got in Vyasadeva's wife's mouth and right into his belly, into his system, just to disappear from Shiva. Okay, so Shiva shows up and says, where is that parrot? And they go, what? And obviously, you know, Vyasadeva wasn't going to lie, because he saw the parrot. And so he's questioning Vyasadeva where the parrot is. Vyasadeva didn't answer it like that. He just said, why are you coming after Shuka, the parrot? Then Lord Shiva described how he got deceived by Shuka the parrot speaking Bhagavatam. And then when he finished, he was questioned, right? So then now Shiva had to answer this question. So if you, this is Vyasadeva still talking to Shiva, if you know that he heard the Bhagavatam, isn't Bhagavatam a purifying shastra for you? For anyone? The Lord Shiva had to admit, yes, it is. Well, if it is, then why are you coming after him then? You have done wonderful service, even though you didn't know. But, you know, it was the circumstances weren't so the way you like. But the thing is, you purified this parrot. So he admitted. So then Lord Shiva turned around and went away. But again, based on Krishna's pastimes, the parrot did not come out. and stayed, and this is how the parrot got into basically what we will see now, that Vyasadeva's wife got pregnant with Shuka. So the conversation continued. So the parrot had heard it from partly from Lord Shiva and now from Vyasadeva also. So he came out having purified in the Bhagavatam. So I don't personally know about impersonalism. All I know is that after that he was born and he stayed in the womb for a long time, when he heard about material life the way it was, he didn't want to come out at first. 16 years almost, they said. Yeah. So when he came out, immediately started leaving. And, you know, Maharaj Vyasadeva was so attached to his son, he wanted him to stay. So what was happened was that by his powers, Shukadeva made another type of, you know, personality looking just like him. And left, and then left Vyasadeva with that particular personality. So I don't know anywhere though that it says that he went to impersonalist. I have to admit, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't read that. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Jai, Jai. But the pastime is interesting though. It'll be that alone. Yeah, well, that's your heart. Yeah, that's the way it comes across. That's all Krishna's mercy. Open our hearts like that, our souls like that. It's wonderful. Krishna is incredibly incredible. Hare Krishna. All right, Srila Prabhupada. Any more questions or comments? I guess we can stop here then. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai. Srila Prabhupada. Okay.